Thing is at 7 right here, so Pastor Dave can play. It's been nice having music at our prayer meetings. Next Sunday, we'll begin the baby bottle campaign for Bright Alternatives, the pro-life local ministry in Wellsville. It's also Father's Day. July 11th is going to be our annual church picnic, and the Bowden family will be.
I'm going to ask my wife, Carol, to come. She has something she'd like to share. I bring it up. Okay.
I have always found it a little bit difficult to transition from my normal Christian walk to the time of great challenge, you know, like the really challenging parts of our lives that we each go through in different ways. And the normal, you know, every day to the really challenging. And I always thought that scene where Peter asks Jesus to call him out onto the water, and Jesus says, come, and Peter walks on the water for a little while. I always thought that referred to the really hard challenges, and then the rest was like just regular faith, and then the, you know, really challenging faith. But then I just felt like a couple of weeks ago, I thought, well, we're entering into this season of having, I mean, you know, being new pastors, and the church is entering a new season of, you know, having a different pastor. And I thought, well, this is like walking on the water. And then the Lord just kind of opened my mind and said, it's all walking on water. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So it's a little easier. For me, it's just an easier transition to think about, okay, it's all walking on water. It's all by faith. We're, you know, good times, bad times, regular, normal, ordinary times, and then the challenging times. If we can just keep walking on the water, you know, when we, you know, I guess this is a very cheerful, I think this is a very cheerful depiction of water. That's why I liked it. My neighbor paints these, and I really loved it. So I bought one for the church. So we're going to display it for a while, and just to remind us that our whole lives is a life of faith. And whether we're praising God for the good times or we're calling on him and clinging to him in the bad times, it's all walking on water.
For on. Yeah, all right. Yeah, see, it's just like a guy doesn't pick up the dishes after dinner. I sat back there looking. I leaned over and I told my wife, I said, I didn't pick up the communion dishes. So here comes Judy. Oh, praise God. Walking on water. You know how you do that? You know how Peter did it? You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, then you can step out. You can do great things for God. Glory to God. We are very, I was very pleased to see Pastor Dan here this morning, Pastor Dan Larkin. And he told me, tomorrow, you said, you're heading off for Tanzania?
Thursday,
this week, okay. Well, come up and give us an update, if you would. We need to hear what God is doing in your world.
Well, thank the Lord. It's been an unusual year and a half, almost 2 years. And it's been 2 years since I've been back there. It's the longest time I've been on U.S. territory since 87. And it's been a tough almost 2 years. But the grace of God, amen. We have to trust him regardless. So, the Lord willing, we have a nephew that's going with me. Some of the family thought that just because I'm 85, I need someone to go with me. But I'll try not to do anything too wild. So anyway, I'll be gone a month and teaching at two different Bible schools. We have 3 weeks of teaching, and I always split it right down the middle, 50-50. He does 2 weeks, I do 1 week. We call it Larkinomics. It works. Pastor Lazaro, and I think he's been here, I believe, the head of the school has gone through some serious medical problems too. We were supposed to go in January, and about a week before we were to leave, I found out sort of through the grapevine that to get through the Amsterdam airport, which we had to do, you had to have a COVID test, this PCR test, hard copy. And from the time you took it till you got there, could not be more than 72 hours. And there was no way of getting the results. So he had to postpone. And some ways it worked because Pastor Lazaro was in the hospital at that time, and it would have been very difficult to continue the school. But we ask for your prayers as we go. Like you, we just want God's will. And I'm just thankful, and Nancy's not going, but... what's that? Oh. I keep reminding her she's still my favorite wife. In a few months we'll be celebrating, 106 years? 66 years. And I say she still doesn't know what to do with me, but she doesn't know what to do without me. So I'm safe. But I appreciate your prayers. And, we want God's will, and God's way, and God's time. And I appreciate your prayers. And we want to come up here and celebrate with you today. This event is going to happen this afternoon, and there again, we believe God's will, God's way, and God's time is in it. And so we thank you for your faithfulness and supporting us through the years. And we need your prayers and guidance. Well, God bless you.
Oh, go ahead.
Just... About a month ago, we had the privilege of all eight of our daughters being together, and we could all go to church together. The first time in many, many, many years. So, but you know what it's like to be in a house with nine women, and you're the only fella?
Oh boy, that's called grace. Don't go away, we're going to pray. That's called grace, man. All right. Father, we lift up our brother to you today. And Lord, we pray, even as we've heard about walking on water, Father, it's not because there's anything miraculous about us. It's that we serve a miraculous God. And when we go places, Father, you can use us. And so we pray, we send our brother off to Tanzania with our prayers, God, that when he gets there, he would walk in the grace of God, that you'd use him, that the presence of God would be evident in his life, that the people he speaks to, that the people he ministers to, that there would be unction and anointing. God, that you would accomplish everything that you desire in his ministry as he travels. I pray that you'd keep him safe. We pray that you'd keep him healthy and well. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen this vessel, strengthen and give him supernatural strength to be able to do all that is required of him. Use him, Father. You're able to do it, Lord. We know that you're able, and Father, he can walk out on those waves, Lord. You can help him and use him to do the things that he could never do on his own because of the grace of God. Bless him and keep him as he travels and use him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you. God bless you. Brian, would you help me move the table back? Would you help me? I'm neglecting to move things. Thank you. Good job. Thank you. All right. We have been, woo, tip over the podium. Good job, Pastor Dave. We've been looking in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And Adam, you can go ahead and bring that up. It's there somewhere. And Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. I've taken quite a bit of time to talk about Christian character. And we have a few more fruits. If you come to church and things are a little fruity, that's the way it's supposed to be. But hopefully not in the crazy way, but in the spiritual sense of the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, we in our church, we love to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation and the power of God. And yes, we want that, but boy, we better have the character of God. We better be people who are walking the walk, not just talking the talk, not just doing the thing, but living the life that's really upright and godly, doing the things that that God expects of us, and living in a fashion that brings honor and glory to him. So that's why we're talking about this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We have already spent quite a bit of time. We talked about the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and today we're going to look at the fruit of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would use your word today, that you would speak to us. God, that we would hear your voice, Lord, as we look into these scriptures, and that you would challenge us to be people who live our faith faithfully. Help us to live according to that measure, Father, that you have called us to, that we would bring honor and glory to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Faithfulness. A lot of different definitions that we could give to it, but faithfulness is simply trustworthiness that doesn't give up. Trustworthiness. Something you can trust in, taking every opportunity to use all our ability for the glory of God. Somebody who's dependable. Do you like people who are dependable? Do you like people that when they say they're going to do something, that they actually do it? Yeah, very nice, isn't it? How many of you have dealt with people who have said, oh, I'll do this, I'll take care of that, and then you find out later, uh-oh. I've had that lovely experience on many occasions. But I'll tell you, it brings glory to God when we're faithful. It's very hard when we don't. And as I looked on this and started studying this message, I had to ask myself some questions. Because the greatest ability, you know, we talk about, you know, what our abilities are. The greatest ability is dependability. Being dependable. So I asked myself, am I a dependable person, Lord? Can I be counted on? Do I keep my promises? And I had to stop and think about that a little bit. And as I thought on it, I could think of the times that I did. Oh, and I could think of a few times that I didn't. I didn't want to look at those. It kind of hurts, like, oh, it's embarrassing. God, I'm sorry. Thankfully, there's the grace of God. But I'm reminded of that Marine slogan, Semper Fidelis, or Semper Fi. And that just means always faithful. And their motto is, we are going to always be faithful to our mission, always be faithful to our country, always be faithful to do what we're sent to do. Shouldn't that be, should we run around saying Semper Fi to God? Semper Fi, Lord. Make me faithful to do whatever you say, whatever you want to. Because if I'm trusting Christ, then others should be able to trust me. And you know, we live in a time and in a culture where it's almost like it's fashionable to be unfaithful. It's incredible to me. People, before they get married, get a prenuptial agreement. What is that? So when we get divorced, I want to make sure that I get the car and you can have... What are we thinking? Planned unfaithfulness? And you see that in the I'm going to say it, in the political realm. Boy, when one political figure goes out of favor, it's like all the rats jump out of the sinking ship. Everybody abandons them. Whew, away they go to run to the next thing that looks better. There's no faithfulness. There's no fidelity in that. So where do we find faithfulness? Where do we find faithfulness that's tried and true and going to always be what it says it's going to be? Well, you're only going to find it in God. That is the only source that you're going to find it in. We're not going to find it anyplace else. And if we're going to be faithful people, we're going to have to find it in God, because it's not in us. Not naturally. It's just not there. I was thrilled. Has it really been a month, Carl? Carl and Lori got married about a month ago, and they stood up here, and they pledged, and they said, in sickness or in health, to death do us part. And you know, I believe them. They didn't say, make my life swell until you stop doing your part. You know, make me happy, and when you stop, I'm going somewhere else. No, a faithful Christian marriage is one where there's commitment, where there's people who, two parties that say, we're going to do this and we're going to do it right. And that picture is a picture of the relationship of God with his people. It's a faithfulness picture. And Jesus said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder, Mark 10:9. So when people are joined, that's a picture of the union that God wants to faithfully have with his people, where nothing else comes in between. Nothing else comes in between. And so if we're going to be faithful in that, we spent so much time talking in John 15 about abiding in the vine. And if you're going to have a faithful relationship with Christ, then you get plugged into that vine and you don't unplug yourself. You make the time to get there every day. You get in the presence of God. You pray. You read your Bible. You make that time and you be faithful to him. And then, you know what God is really faithful to do? I've seen it in my life. God will be faithful to point out the areas in my life where I have idols. Now, I'm not talking about I have a little statue, you know, oh, great anointing oil. You know, I'm talking about the things that get in our heart, that get in between us and God. He will be faithful to point those out, because we develop blind spots. Sometimes you don't even know. We develop those blind spots. And God is faithful. As we come to him, he shows us those things so that we can have a faithful relationship with him. And that's where it starts. If you're going to be a faithful person, you've got to have a faithful relationship with him. Vertical first, then horizontal. Get this right, and this is going to be right. Glory to God. And that is absolutely and positively what we have to have. God's given us a mandate for faithfulness. God desires faithfulness. We'll pass that. Psalm 51:6, surely you desire truth in the inmost being. That word truth is literally faithfulness or trustworthiness. God desires in the very inmost part of us that we have a faithful heart. God admires faithfulness. Matthew 25, 21 is the parable of the talents. And where Jesus tells the story of the man who gave his various servants different amounts of talents. And they're not talking about a talent like something you can do. They're talking about a quantity of money. Like a talent, believe it or not, was one of the references I read said it was like 20 years worth of a worker's wages back then. And one of the guys got 10 talents. Another one got 5 talents. So one only got 1. And if you think, well, he was really cheap, he only gave that one 1. That was a lot. That was a lot of talents. Hey, did you get to see my baby granddaughter? Hey, Andrew, you got to pick her up for just a second. This is Proud Papa. She just walked back in. There she is. Her name is Rosalie. And we've had a lot of fun. Oh God, I want to be a faithful papa to her. Glory to God. So the owner gave his different servants these talents and then sent them out. And some of them did really good with the talents. And then one of them just took it and hid it in the ground. Well, God praised the ones that went and invested. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Boy, I want to hear that said of me. I remember, how many of you remember Sister Velma? Remember Sister Velma? Here years ago, she said the only thing she really wanted to hear from God one day when she got up there was, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, I remember the day somebody came and spoke those words over her in a prophetic word. It was just like heaven on earth when we heard that. Oh, and she's gone on into glory, but she was faithful to pray. And boy, when she left the church, you felt something missing. Because her prayers, wow, she was mighty. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. God looks for and appreciates and rewards faithfulness. God requires faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with just a little, with very little, can be trusted with much. And to whom whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. You know what that says? Use what God's given you. It might not seem like much. You want to be used by God? Use what God's given you, and he'll give you more. He can trust you if you're being faithful with what he's given you. Oh, glory to God. God is faithful. He is faithful. And the main reason that we are really called to be faithful is because God is faithful. God is faithful. And he expects faithfulness. He doesn't expect something of us that he is not of. God wants us to be faithful because that's what he is. And is it any reason to wonder why the faithfulness of God is constantly attacked? Constantly attacked. The thing that I hear more than anything else from people is questioning God. That people will continually doubt God, his existence, and his faithfulness. And what I hear him say is, If there's really a God, how come there's so much suffering in the world? You hear that? If there was really a God, he wouldn't let suffering happen. You know what they're saying? They're saying it's God's fault that there's suffering. Really, it's not. I don't feel like people are questioning God's existence when they say that. They're blaming God. Or they're saying, well, there must not be any God because look at the mess that we're in. Wow. You know the real problem with that statement? I will tell you the real problem with that statement. People seem to think they know how God should behave and how God should run things. I know what you should do, God. Job found out that that was not the way to go. That was not a good thing. Job had a lot of complaints that he poured out. And one day he had to stand before God, and God said, oh yeah, where were you when I formed the world? Where were you when I created this? How about that? Where were you when I did this? And Job just, oops. Basically, that's what Job said. He had a lot to say, but it was basically, oops. Yeah. So people have this idea, the problem of evil and suffering in the world is not because God is not faithful or reliable. It means there is something wrong with the world. There is not a God problem. We have a world problem. And that is the truth. God did not create a world of automatons where we just... God could have just created everybody so that we all line up. Oh, yes, we do whatever you want. We worship you. Well, no. God wanted to have a people who would love him, who would follow him, and serve him from their hearts. So he gave choice. It requires choice. God doesn't force us to come to him, love him, or obey him. That wouldn't be love. Did I put Matthew 23 up there? I didn't. The problem is that we live in a world where people continually turn their back on God and do evil. It started in the garden. Eve reached out for what she was told not to take, shouldn't have. Creation fell. And the propensity of man has been evil from that point on. And people blame God, but people have turned away from everything that is good and everything that is right. And then they wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. Well, we live in a fallen world, and all that God intended for good, people have turned from. So now we live in a world where there's natural disasters, where we have sickness, we have death, and we have evil people. You know, I hate to say that, but there are really evil people. Now, can God touch their hearts? Yes, of course. But there, you know, in school, I was taught, oh, people are naturally good. If you just give people a chance, they're naturally good. Guess what? It ain't like that. You go over to the Middle East and say hi to an Islamic jihadist as he's hunting down Christians and beheading them in front of entire villages. And that's happening right now. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in the Middle East. The Christian church is persecuted like in unprecedented ways. Am I correct, Brother Dan? Just incredible persecution. But do you hear about it in the news? No, because we don't want to have sympathy for Christians, because Christians stand up for godly values. Why do you think we have so many problems in the world? It's because people don't want to follow God. And look what happens when we don't. But God, in his faithfulness, made the way for us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God was faithful. God has done his part. He sent his only begotten Son into the world, sacrificed him so that we could have life. God, in his faithfulness, gave you life. We're all alive here today. God gave you a life. We're breathing. We have a chance to live on this earth and glorify God and be faithful. And he created you. He gave you a life and breath on this earth and created you for a purpose. I used to feel like I really, really did it before I got saved, and then in my early Christian life, like, yeah, well, how come I have problems? I don't really like the life God gave me. You know what? Romans 9, 20 and 21. Oh, I know I put it up there. Go ahead, Ed. Yep. On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? Do you know, I work in a school with all kinds of kids. All kinds of kids. And there are some kids who are just brilliant. Absolutely, they're brilliant kids. They pick up stuff just like that. Then I work with other kids, and everything is hard for them. They struggle with this, they can't seem to get that, and they try to get forced into this mold that doesn't really work for them. Then we have Down syndrome kids. We have special ed kids. There's all kinds of kids. God made those people. God made those people. He has a purpose for their lives just like he has a purpose for your life. Does life seem, is life fair? No, life isn't fair. You know, some people, I've seen some people and I look at them and I think, God, this is just not fair. You know, they've got a lot of money and they look like they fell off the cover of GQ magazine. And they've got, and then other people live on the street. Well, what's the deal? How is that fair? Is God fair? No, God doesn't have to be fair. He creates us the way he wants us to be, and everybody has a purpose. And if somebody will submit their life to Christ, it doesn't matter where they are, God can use it. I have this little Down syndrome girl in my school, and she comes into my class, and when that kid smiles, she lights up the whole room. She's wonderful. She'll come up and give me a big hug. I love her. People say, how could God make someone like that? How could he not? How could he not make someone like that? Oh, and God has a purpose for that girl's life. If that girl surrendered her life to Christ, God could use her to reach all kinds of people. He could use her life to change the world around her. Wow. That should turn special ed upside down on its head as far as I'm concerned. I love those kids because God loves them. And they're precious and they have potential and God can use them. God can use the bright ones. God can use the challenged ones. Here's the key. Oh, I say that and then I've got lots of keys, but... I will praise thee, for I am, did I put it up? Oh, there it is. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you know what the devil wants to do is tell you that you are a problem, that you have problems, that your life is full of problems. You can't do what God wants you to do. You can do anything that God puts before you because you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God, you are God's work, and his work is wonderful. His work is wonderful. Now, what does that mean? Some people may be destined to stand before hundreds of thousands of people. Other people may be destined to sit in their room and pray and intercede. Other people may be called to serve. Who's more important? The most important one is the one who's faithful. Does it matter what you're called to? It matters that you are faithful to what God calls you to. And I want to challenge you today. You are wonderfully made. All of you are wonderfully made, and God has things in you that he wants to unlock as you're faithful to seek him and believe him to do it. Believe him to do it and take your faith to the next level. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Some of you are like, yeah, I know, Dave. Yeah. But you know, everybody has a purpose. Every life counts. And any life that gets turned over to God, God will use. And that means we are answerable to God and no one else. And it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what other people think. Really doesn't. You know, when I was growing up, I did not like being skinny. I was the skinniest kid ever. And if you think I'm skinny now, you should have seen me back when I was a kid. I mean, I've actually gained some weight. I was skinny. And it showed up one day at the swimming pool. The kids were like, look at him. He is skinny. And they all started staring at me. Well, that was the beginning of the end. And, oh, I remember just being ashamed. Oh, terrible shame. Just wanted to hide. In the summer, I'd wear long shirts and jeans, and I didn't want anybody to see me. It was horrible. And I became a bully magnet. You know, the bullies can sniff out the ones that are kind of insecure and a little fearful. And, you know, they go around with their nose up. Oh, there's one. I attracted a lot of bullies. And it did not help. It did not help that I had a brother, Jim, who was the football star at school. Thank you very much. He got his face in the newspaper every week. Ah, he was my older brother, and he was the track star. He held the state record for the 100-yard dash for several years, didn't he, Carol? Yeah, and he got a football scholarship to Syracuse University. How would you like to be the one to follow that act? And in walks Dave, you know, I was about 110, you know, I was not going to be on the football team. Oh, that was hard. And, you know, I struggled for a lot of years. And I felt like, God, why did you make me like this? What is the... But, you know, when I accepted Christ when I was in college, when I really gave my heart over to him, I discovered first that I began to discover that Jesus loved me in a way that I'd never experienced before. And my life started to change. Things started to change. And then suddenly I began to have that sense of God's purpose. Well, I wasn't built to be a football player. But then the Lord began to move me in the direction of music. It took me a lot of years. I was a little thick in the head for a while, wasn't I? It took me a while to realize. I finally went back to school and did a degree in music. But that was what God had put in me. It wasn't the same as what was in my brother. It wasn't the same as what was in other people. It wasn't. But if I was faithful with what God gave me to do. Now, I could have spent my whole life trying to take protein supplements and work out and become my brother. It ain't going to happen. Or I could be faithful and say, Lord, I want to submit myself to how you've made me, what you've put inside me. And God was faithful to lead me in that. Oh, thank God he did. Oh, I don't know what I'd be doing now. But if you've accepted Jesus Christ, God has giftings and a plan for your life that you're not going to find on your own, but never, never doubt that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. My mom, oh, some days I miss my mom so much. You know, my sister's here today, my sister Carol, and she's nodding her head. Oh, my mom was such a precious lady. Yep. And my mom had a precious gift that I didn't come to appreciate until I was older. She had this wonderful gift of hospitality. And we would go to my mom's house, and it felt like a safe haven. I'd come home from college, and I'd be like, oh, I'm home. It's wonderful. I got married, and my wife would come. And you felt like it was you are always like, this is such a safe place. And my kids, when we had kids, we'd bring them. We just loved being at Grandma Lil and Grandpa Glenn's house. It was wonderful. Now, and my mom knew how to welcome you, to treat you, to be a blessing to you. But my mom struggled with something her whole life. She was like me. She was very, very thin, and she always struggled with the way she looked. She'd talk, oh, I love my hair, look at my neck, look at my legs. And she used to say things like, well, I don't have any talents. She tried to do this, she tried to do that, and things didn't work out very well. And she always said, well, I don't have any gifts, I don't know, any talents. I just wish, like, Mom, you had a tremendous gift. You blessed my life with your gift. Two things she did for me, that wonderful hospitality, and she taught me to love God's word. I never grew up a day doubting that this was true, that this was truth. And she put that in me. My mom put that in me. Glory to God. And God gave her a gift. And even though she may have struggled with parts of that, God used her in that way in my life. And boy, I so appreciate it. But let's not get robbed. Let's not get robbed of what God wants to do by worrying about what the world says we should look like, or the world says that we should act like, or the world says that we should think, or the world tells you that you should have or be. Instead, let's worry about what God wants us to be and what God wants us to think and who God wants us to be, and forget the rest. Oh, the devil's play is to steal away that truth and tell you that you have no worth and make you feel worthless. You're not in any way worthless. You're made in the image of God. And the devil knows that. And once you accept that, you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Oh, yeah. Yes. When we accept it, then we can give the devil a black eye, begin to move in our community, and move in people's lives around us, be used by God. Glory to God. Galatians 6:9 in the New Living Translation says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." So what's the key? Don't give up. Believe God. Keep doing what he's called you to do. And if you don't know what that is, then you faithfully seek him and he'll show you. He will be faithful to show you. You can trust him. God's not going to leave you out hanging out to dry. The problem is when we don't seek him. That's the problem. If we seek him. And you know, faithfulness and faith are really inseparable. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, and that is what enables us to be able to be faithful, because we continue on in the face of not seeing things happening, but we believe what God said and we plod on. That's how, you know, you take the next step. Peter, you know what? Peter gets a bad rap. He stepped out of the boat. People are like, "Oh, Peter, he got out of the boat and he fell in the water." Well, he was the only one that got out. He got out, he looked at Jesus, and he started walking. That's pretty cool. I have a lot of respect for Peter. That was awesome. He gave us an example that it can happen. And if you keep your eyes on Jesus, then you can walk on that water. You can do it. And you can do it every day. And the promise of a harvest is sure. It doesn't mean that your problems are going to go away. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we were just faithful and then suddenly we don't have any, our problems are solved. You don't have any more problems inside. You don't have any more problems outside. You know, I really wish that was true. I don't want to take the time to actually read there today, but in 2 Chronicles 31, if you have time, 2 Chronicles 31 and 32, read the story of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was one of the good kings. There were good kings in Israel and Judah, and there were bad kings. The bad ones ran after the Ashtaroth and the Baal and Moloch and all of the false gods and all of the disgusting, horrible things that they did. But Hezekiah was one of the good ones. And he came in to Israel when it was overloaded with garbage. They had given themselves to idolatry and worshiping false gods and all the disgusting, horrible practices that they did. And he went through and he started smashing things. He went through, he smashed the altars. He ripped down all of the idols. He was a really good guy. He drove out all of the false worshipers. He reinstituted the worship in the Jewish temple. He devoted money to do that. He brought in offerings. He celebrated the first Passover in years and years and years and years. He even sent couriers all over to invite everybody from Israel. Most of them laughed at the couriers because they wanted to live in idolatry. But some came in, and he did all of these wonderful things, brought tremendous reform to Israel. And then in chapter 32, verse 1, it said, after all this faithfulness, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up and attacked him. What? No, he was a good king. He did everything right. He got rid of the garbage. Why isn't God protecting him? And now, the king of Assyria was not a nice guy, and he was pretty feared in those days. His empire was going to sweep across. And so here he is, and he's threatening Judah. And he's already building siege against some of the cities. And what they do is they would put up their armies around, and they basically starve you out. Nobody can get in, nobody can get out. And he's out there with his couriers yelling to the people, you're going to starve in there. You're going to have nothing. Come out to us. Give up, or we're going to kill you all. We'll wipe you out. Your God can't save you. And Hezekiah very wisely prays and seeks out the prophet Isaiah. And they get together and they begin to pray. After Hezekiah has done everything right, he's facing this incredible battle, overwhelming odds. He prays, and then at the end of chapter 32, the angel of the Lord went out to the camp, and it says he annihilated, I love the word, he annihilated all the men of valor, destroyed them. Wow. Hawak. Can you imagine the angel of the Lord coming down? Those are powerful dudes. And annihilated them. And then Sennacherib went back home to his own country, and his own sons executed him as he was worshiping at his idol, the altar of his idol. You know, if you're faithful to God, it doesn't mean your problems will go away, but God will show himself faithful to you. Jesus said, in this world we'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. That doesn't mean that everything is suddenly going to be right, but it does mean that we have the promise of heaven, that we're going to be with him forever. No matter what happens here on earth, we have the kingdom of God within us. We can walk with Jesus. We can have peace in the storm. It doesn't mean that the storm's going to go away, but we can have that peace and that assurance in trouble because we are children of God. The one of the most wonderful stories of faithfulness I've ever heard, and most of you will already have heard it, Jim Elliot and five of his friends had a burden to go to Eastern Ecuador. Jim Elliot had a burden to reach the native tribes in that country so strongly that he and a friend of his went into Ecuador and began to do Spanish studies. In 6 months, they were speaking very well. They went into a certain area and began to minister to one of the indigenous tribes there, and people started getting saved. They started turning to Christ. The entire tribes were coming, leaving their savage life, which really what it was, and coming to Christ. But he had a burden to reach the Alka Indians, and he and four of his friends, Nate Saint was a missionary plane flyer. Began to fly his plane over the Alka area, and he rigged up something so that they could drop presents from a big bucket down into the area, and they started leaving presents for the Alka people. Now, these Alka people killed anybody that came anywhere near their territory. Everybody was killed. They had relief workers come. They would kill them. Tribe, other people from other tribes, kill them. And they started leaving presents and gifts. And they rigged up a loudspeaker to shout friendly sayings in the Alka language. And after a number of times of dropping these packages and gifts and friendly messages, one day the Alkas sent a present back in the bucket. And they pulled it up, and there was a gift from the Alkas. They thought, wow, we've reached it. We've done it. It's time to meet them. So they flew their plane down, and they landed, and out came some Alkas from the forest. And they met with them. They very hard to communicate, but they tried to talk. They shared a meal. Nate Saint took one of them up in his airplane, gave him an airplane ride, flew him around, and they thought, this is awesome. We are reaching these people for Christ. And so 5 days later, they attempted to make another contact, and some people began to come out of the forest, and they began to walk toward them, and as they did, more people came out from behind with spears, and they came out, and they killed all five of the missionaries, speared them, all of them dead. Everyone killed. And terrible tragedy for their families back home, crushing. They had wives, they had children. It was just a crushing thing to think that they had that chance and that those people would do that to them. And less than 2 years later, Jim Elliott's wife, Elizabeth, took her daughter and the sister of Nate Saint and went back to the village. Things had changed since that time, since the spearing of these missionaries, the atmosphere and the climate, a lot of publicity and a lot of people came in and things started to change. And they went down and they moved into that tribe and they began to make friends with these people. Tons of people in that village got saved. The people who speared and killed her husband came to Christ. Nate Saint's son went back and established a friendship with the man who had speared his father to death. How do you do that? How do you go? And I look at that and think, I just want to go and take a Tommy gun and let him have it. Look what you... And these people went and built upon the faithfulness of those men. Built upon the faithfulness and extended it. And those enemies of Christ gave their hearts to Christ. And now there's a testimony. And these men who murdered the missionaries have come to America. Some of them have even shared their life and what they... But a restored friendship and fellowship with the families of the people that they killed. That's the gospel. That is the faithfulness of God that can only happen as God works on the inside. That'd be a tough one for me. But God can do it. And God is able to use what's inside of you to reach your world. If you'll faithfully seek Him, He's going to use you. Believe Him today to do good things in you. Ask Him, seek Him, say, God, what do I do? Who am I? Where do I fit? What am I going to do for you? Maybe you know already. Maybe you're doing it. Don't give up. If we're faithful in due season, we will reap a harvest. But don't get discouraged. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You that You have plans for good and not for evil. And Lord, You are able to touch the hardest heart, the most difficult person. So Father, as we pray faithfully for people, help us to never give up on people. As we serve, Father, even if it doesn't look like there's any effect, help us to faithfully serve. As we sow Your word in people's lives, even if it doesn't seem like there's any change, God, help us to believe that You're still at work by faith. And God, help us, Lord, to understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, we know us. We know our problems. But You are the God that can use us, and You've formed us. And you made us for a purpose, and the fit is perfect when we follow you, your heart. So God, help us today and help us to find our fit and help us to be faithful, Lord. And help us to not grow weary in well-doing. And we thank you that there'll be a harvest. Father, some people have been faithful and they never saw the harvest, but it came. Maybe after their time, but it came. And God, you're faithful and we trust you for it. We trust you to do that in us and for us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you want prayer, we want to pray for you. We are a church that believes in healing. We believe in deliverance. We believe that God can do miracles in your life. And we would love the chance to pray for you. If you're here today and you want prayer, please don't leave without coming forward. We'd love the chance to pray with you. Otherwise, we're anticipating a celebration. We're going to have a party. Let's have a party and celebrate Jesus this afternoon. We don't need to celebrate me. We can celebrate Jesus. What Jesus is doing. What God is doing. God is good. Amen. God bless you. Hopefully see most of you this afternoon. If not, have a good week. And if you want prayer, please feel free to come up and someone will pray with you. Mm-hmm.